like to begin this morning in the 20th chapter of John. 20th chapter of John. Verse 27. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and not be faithless, but believing. Those were the words that Christ spoke to Thomas when he was doubting whether Christ had really risen from the dead. Now, the Lord had given me a message a little over 2.5 years ago. I was in Ghana. I remember the Lord giving me this message, and I came home and I preached it at Guthrie. In conversation recently, this came up with someone, and the Lord began talking to me and re-inspired it. So if you heard me share some of this in Guthrie, then you can just have a second helping, but it is fresh inspiration. Thomas, in verse 24, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, "We have seen the Lord." We've seen him. But he said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And then Jesus came through the door in his glorified body, and I can just see him walking over Thomas like I was listening. "I heard what you said." And he came and he said, "Reach thither thy finger and behold my hands. Look, here's the evidence." Do you know what Thomas saw when he looked on the hands of Christ? What did he see? He saw the proof. He saw scars. He saw where the nails, the spikes, had been driven through. They called hands, it was referring to the wrist. They could see where the spikes had been driven through his wrist. And you would think that now this is the Jesus that had a glorified body. He walked through the door. We find that he did eat. He sat down with the disciples and ate after his resurrection. But he had a glorified body. But I want us to understand this morning that even in his glorified body, he still had scars. There was still evidence of the crucifixion. And why did he do it? Because it was mentioned there was proof. Those scars were proof that he had. It was his identity, though. "I am the Christ." How do you know that? Look, here's the evidence. Remember, the soldier drove his spear through my side? Here's the scar. I have evidence. You know, with every scar, there's a story. I thought about Sister Rhonda this week. I don't know how your finger's doing, but you're going to have a story to tell. One day, your grandchildren may be playing with your hand and say, "Grandma, what happened?" And you have a little story. I have some stories to tell. I have a scar on my face. I was a little bit older when I got chicken pox. And it marred my face. And it left some pox. I've got scars on my hands of different things. And I can say, well, that scar came from this certain thing happened. Ethan's not here this morning, but he's got a number of stories he could tell. He's got a big scar here and a big scar here and a big, and you can, he has a story to tell. You know, scars, I believe probably most of us probably have a scar somewhere, and there's a story behind it. Jesus, in his glorified body, had proof of what had happened. And there was a wonderful story that he had to tell. And I am so thankful this morning, and I was so inspired this week that when I begin to consider, I'm thankful that the Jesus in his glorified body did not lose the scars. You see, sometimes we sing the song when we, Hallelujah Square. You remember that song, Hallelujah Square? It's an old one. Talked about the lame man was going to be able to walk when he got to heaven, and the blind man was going to be able to see. And I believe that this morning. But I also believe that the Lord is going to leave enough there, because those were not scars of defeat. Those were scars of victory. Those were scars that could remind people that this is what I suffered for your salvation. And there's proof. Those scars were part of his identity. You see that scar tissue? It's where it mended. It's where it healed. That's what a scar is. It was evidence of healing. But there was something that remained, and that was that scar. And they were so glad when they saw those scars, weren't they? If he would have just walked through the door and said, well, I'm Jesus, because there was something they still weren't recognizing. So that glorified body, he looked a little different. And yet the scars are still there. I'm not pulling this one out of thin air. This is Bible. Those scars were there. But do you know if there's no scars, there was no joy. Because the scars actually brought comfort to those disciples. And in another account in the book of Luke, the same thing happened. Jesus appeared to some of his disciples and they were afraid. And he said, why are you troubled? You know, what are you thinking about? He said, behold my hands and my feet. In other words, I want you to look and I want you to see the evidence of what I did for you. I rose from the dead. Scars, I believe that when the disciples saw those scars, that it began to enable healing to come to their own wounds. Because those disciples were lonely. Their hopes had been dashed. There was failure among them. They had not followed closely with Christ. Especially Peter had denied the Lord. And when they saw the scars of Christ, I believe in seeing that and then the joy it brought, it enabled their wounds to begin to be healed. You know, it is a blessing to me to see your scars sometimes. That's why prayer meeting and when people testify, it can be such a blessing. When you talk about, when you share where you've been, you share your brokenness, you share your heartache, you share the things maybe that when you were in sin, the wounds that it caused, and yet you testify a victory. But you still have a scar. There's some residue there. There's something that's evidence that that's where I was. And it gives hope to those that are still hurting. It gives hope to those that are struggling in their sin, thinking, can I ever overcome this? And then they look at your life and see your scars and think, well, if you overcame them, maybe I can too. If what one time where you were broken and I see that you're healed now in my brokenness today, it gives me hope to know that tomorrow, maybe one day I can be left with a scar too, and I can tell a story to someone that's wounded and hurting. You know, the scars of Christ were not meant to be a discouragement. They were meant to be an encouragement. It identified him who it was, but it gave hope to his disciples. Healing does not come this morning by covering up our wounds. I want to encourage you with that this morning. If you are wounded and you are broken, and there's loneliness and maybe there's failure in your life, trying to cover it up and act as if it's not there, it's not going to bring about the success that you want. But when you begin to recognize that I am wounded, I am hurting, but then I look at the scars of my Lord and I have hope. Because his scars represented the reality of healing. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he came to some ashamed, broken men. And yet, he showed them the evidence. When we are saved and following the Lord, we have joy and peace in our hearts. We should. That's available for all of us this morning. But I also want to remind us that there are times of pain and hurt and loneliness. We may have more to say about that here in the next week or two. But there are painful things of our past that are not always erased. You heard messages on forgiveness, and everyone's heard the term forgive and forget. Have y'all heard those things tied? If you truly forgive someone, you forget it. That's not actually always correct, okay? And that can create a misperception among people that I must not forgive them because I see them, I remember what they did, so I must have not forgiven. So that phrase isn't actually quite accurate. It means that there is a place of release and there is a place of healing in the hurts that we've experienced in the past, that we can come to a place that the pain's not there anymore. And there is a place, I know God has almost erased it out of some people, but that's not always the case because we're not divine. We don't have a divine brain like God does. He can literally cast it out of His memory. There are hurts that I've experienced in life, and I remember them. But I found healing that the pain is not there anymore. The memory is there, and I will say this, there are some times that even it can be enough remind me. I remember some things and it still hurts today. I'm going to be fair about it. Things, what people have done and acted and hurts that have happened, and it can still hurt, but you know, you can think of those without bitterness. You can think of them without any feeling of vengefulness or get back, but you can think about them with love, and it still hurts a little bit. You know, just because we're saved doesn't mean that God is going to erase all the faults. All right? Scars are to remind us of what the Lord has done. They are to remind us of His healing. And there are some scars this morning. I can show you some scars on my hands and my face. But there are scars that we have that are a whole lot deeper than what you can see. There are scars that people have inside that are very deep. But you know what it means when it's a scar? You need it healed up. I'm not broken anymore. But there's still evidence of the past. There are wounds and there are griefs that happen to us. There are memories that are not always erased of words spoken and things done. And sometimes it can even still bring a knock to your stomach. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you know that you can be saved and have the Holy Spirit? I was driving down the road the other day, and I don't want to dwell on it too much because it's a very bad memory for me. But I passed a certain place in town, and it looks like a place that has memories. It wasn't even the exact place, but it was a trigger for me. It was a trigger. And I drove by, and I could just feel that it brought back a place of darkness, of some real pain and hurt, of sin in some other people's lives that really had a great impact. So you just kind of have to, okay, Lord, I'm thankful. It was a scar. The memory was still there. And yet, I'm thankful it's a scar. The Lord can fill your wounds. The hurts and the pain and the difficulties that you have been through in life, it doesn't mean that there's a place that if you can get so close to God that you're not going to ever be affected by it, that you'll never remember it again. But you can look at the scar and say, thank you, Lord, I remember, but thank you for bringing it to me. I'm thankful for the scars of Christ because this is why Jesus came to this world. He came to heal who? Broken. To those that are bruised, to those that are in pain, Jesus came to bring healing. And if your wounds are deep this morning, there is a nail-scarred Savior that would like to reach out to you and minister to you. That you can one day look back and say, now it's a scar that the Lord brought healing to it. Don't allow the enemy to make you think that you will be scarless in serving him. Because I think he does that sometimes. If we can just get so spiritual, know. We can get so spiritual and close to God that we have this healing and the warmth and the love and the comfort that when there's hurt, His presence is there. And I still look at the memories, not that we're dwelling on them, but sometimes they come back, that they're sparks. What's your story? You have a story this morning? Why else did Christ show the scars to His disciples? It was because those scars represented suffering. Just because we love the Lord this morning does not mean that we are going to be exempt from suffering. Right? Just because you are saved this morning does not mean that you will not ever have relationship problems with people. Just because you are saved does not mean that you will never have hurts and disappointments. And I'm going to go a step further. I believe in living above sin. But just because you are saved does not mean that you are exempt from falling short and failing to have the fullness of the grace that God has. And it's those times that we come back to once they were. I want to grow. But you know those failures in the past can leave some scars sometimes. I won't ask you to put your scar hands up in there. But how many of us can point back to places that we failed? And you were saddened. And it was discouraging. But today you can look back on that and you could see where it was actually a stepping stone in your relationship with God. And you have a scar as evidence. The scars of Christ, as I think about those literal scars, it gives me a lot of comfort. And I would that you take home an image with you of the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. It gives me comfort. The battle wounds, the fire, the tribulation, the valleys, you can make it. You can make it. You may be hurting today. There may be things of your past that it seems like that you just can't get over. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you will not struggle because of things that happened in your past. But I want you to know that there is a place of healing in Jesus Christ that you too, one day, can point to the scar that used to be an open wound. But I am so thankful for the healing that's in Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, if I am a part of the body, talking about the body of Christ, he said, I am a poor and a wounded part. And we talk about the glorified body of Christ had scars, didn't it? Is there a parallel with us as a people this morning? I believe in a glorious church. But I also believe, as Charles Spurgeon said, that if I'm part of that body, which by the grace of God I am, but I'm just a poor and a scarred part. The body of Christ is wonderful. But we have some scars. We've had some failures. We've had some disappointments. We've had some firsts. I'm thankful for the scarred body of Christ. Because we're human this morning. Is anybody here perfect? Spiritually, we can be perfectly equipped. Perfect in motivation and desire and purpose. Perfect that we can live without sinning, committing the moral violations that separate us from God. We can and we do by the grace of God. But we are still humanly imperfect. We are still growing in grace. God is still perfecting His holiness within us. And is there anybody here that's without any pain at all? Anybody here that's never felt even overshadowed by their own humanity? I'm supposed to be so spiritual. There's a Savior that has nail scars. And we are part of that body. And I may just be a little scar in the body of Christ, but it's part of His body. this morning, if you feel like you don't have a lot to contribute to the church, and you feel like that maybe because of your past or your failures or maybe even how you see yourself, and you feel like you're not important, I want you to know that the scars mean more today to me on the body of Christ than all the places that were without blemish. Because it is the scars of your being. Your scars in the body of Christ are so important to the rest of us, and we need those scars. Because it tells me that there is healing in Jesus, and it gives me comfort, and it gives me hope. So your value is known. And as Christ went through suffering to bring about victory, we also are going to go through some suffering. We're going to go through suffering physically, financially, temporally, in our families, and even in the church. There's going to be some suffering sometimes. And you think, well, if I'm saved, I ought to be exempt from this. No, we're not exempt from it. But through suffering, Christ Himself learned obedience. And it was by the death of the cross. Then how much more, as humans, do we need to go through suffering for the Lord to begin to perfect us and work His will that we would be more in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we are in the image of His Son, Jesus, you know what that means? We also know His Son. There is glory in His Son. When Jesus ascended to heaven with His disciples, you can turn and read it in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. His disciples were with Jesus, and it was time for Jesus to ascend to the Father. And Jesus began to lift up it with His glorified body. He began to lift up off of the earth, and His disciples, they were still there looking steadfastly into the heavens where Jesus was. And it said there were two men that stood by them in white apparel. You know who those two men in white apparel were? Those were the messengers of God. They were angels. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go." You know what ascended to heaven? His nail-scarred body. So when Jesus is standing at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and for me, when we're hurting and in our struggles, in our failures, in our pain, and the Savior is there beside the throne of God, you know what He's showing to the Father? He's showing the scars. "Father, I died. I died for Brother Leroy. Father, would you help me? Look at my scars." Jesus is in heaven with scars on His hands. Saints, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And so those are beautiful scars because He got them for me. He didn't bear it. He didn't get there for nothing. There's a song that says this, a theme of eternal, it's called A Theme of Eternal Wonder in Heaven. And it says, "O Lord of glory, what are the wounds in Thy hand?" Can you imagine the angels asking when Jesus got up there and they looked, and heaven's a perfect place, isn't it? But perfection does not mean without scars. Jesus is there, and I can see them, and they knew. They were silent in heaven as He hung. And yet, what are those scars on your hands? He left heaven and came down here in perfect man, but He went back to heaven with scars. They're ornaments of glory. Those were His trophies. So when He's standing there before God, He's saying, "Remember, remember, Father. My son, my daughter's in trouble. Remember the scars." And that's why it says that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He's moved by what moves you. He's touched by what touches you. You're not alone this morning. And He has the scars for you. You're not alone. And this is the reason why that we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, when it said there were 10,000 around the throne of God singing and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb." Is your heart lifted up this morning? Do you have some worship in your heart? Do you feel are you experiencing just some of that praise inside? It's, "Lord, thank you for your scars. Thank you because what it means for me personally." But there's another side of it. One of them is, it said he was wounded for our transgression. And by his stripes were what? By his stripes. His stripes. He can heal you this morning. But there's another side of it. You remember when they were going to release, there were two thieves, three thieves actually, murderers, thieves, and Christ that were to be crucified. There were four. And it was the pattern because of the Passover and the Sabbath. They were going to let one of them go. Okay? According to tradition, the Jews would release one of them. And Pilate was there. It's like, "Let's let Jesus go." And they were like, "No, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Let Barabbas go. A murderer. Let Jesus go to the cross." Well, Matthew 27:25, "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and our children.'" At the judgment, when he separates the sheep from the goats, you know what people are going to see? His nail scars. What are we going to do with his nail scars? Those hands will judge us. Did you accept the suffering? Did you accept his sacrifice? Because if you don't accept the healing in his hands today, one day it's going to be those nail scarred hands that separate the sheep from the goat, and the scars will be there. And those that said, "His blood be upon us," his blood will be upon them because of the nail scarred hands. In closing this morning, like the close in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, again verse 17. Before we read that, there was something else I would like to share, talking about, thinking about the body of Christ. The Lord just, driving down the road yesterday, and the Lord just brought this so forcibly to me. Jesus is our great high priest, yes? He's interceding for us. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, if you were to be a priest, you had to be without blemish? We could turn and read it. Probably Leviticus. Turn and read it. If you want to be a priest, you had to be without blemish. I could not be a priest. I'd have to do something else because I'm losing my hair on top. You couldn't be bald and be a priest. If you had a blemish on your skin, you could not serve in the temple as a priest because they wanted that perfection. That was Old Testament. And the Lord brought to me yesterday, our priest has a blemish. He's not perfect physically, like the priest of the Old Testament. He's got scars on him. I was blessed by that. Thank God for a priest that actually understands where we live, because we're not perfect humanly. Life hasn't always been kind to everybody in here this morning. Some of y'all have faced some situations that have brought heartache and grief. I think about those that have suffered abuses as children, or even in as older people that are older. I think about those that are in difficult situations today and causes pain. But our priest understands. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John was speaking, he said, "When I saw him," he's talking about Jesus, "I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on him, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He saw Jesus and he fell down. What did Jesus do? He said he touched him with his right hand. I am so thankful that in my life, so many times, I have been touched by the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ. And if you are feeling discouraged or hopeless or disappointed with yourself, or you're struggling with things of your past, there is a Savior that does truly understand, and he has the scars to prove it. So thankful for the scars this morning of my Lord, and I'm thankful for the scars that came by suffering in my life, because the scars remind me of the healing.